Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, how you doing?
I am doing well. I am well rested, well fed. This could be a fantastic show this afternoon. We're going to get some insight into the fintech scene here in Atlanta, here regionally, and maybe even learn some things about the national and international fintech scene. We have with us in this segment from Now Corp, president and CEO of that organization, Laura Hodgson. She's no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone, so she's going to join us. But we also have Director of Technology Industry Expansion, Mr. Grant Wainscott, with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Grant, we want to share a little bit about Money 2020. What's happening?
Sure. Well, there are a number of large, you know, fintech trade shows around the world that Metro Atlanta and Georgia are involved in. The one that's coming up that we're actually leaving on Saturday for is Money 2020. It's the largest in the country. It's a five-day show, four principal days of trade show and conference in Las Vegas.
And then it's all fintech, all financial services companies?
It is. It's banking, financial services, financial technology. You know, there's about 11,000 attendees at this point. It's quite a mature conference and attracts personalities and companies from experts from all over the world.
And then Atlanta has its own contingent. Are you guys going as a group, or it's a free-for-all, every man for himself?
We're a force.
A force to be reckoned with.
A force.
Well, Atlanta is a force in fintech, isn't that right?
It is.
Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, Atlanta is certainly the home to fintech, although fintech is a term that I think is in some ways ill-defined because it can encompass so many different things. Certainly, Atlanta and Georgia is home to the consumer payment space. Mm-hmm. But I think we are a force. I think, you know, Money 2020 is a very broad conference. It's aptly named anything that has to do with money, which most of us are pretty interested in.
Usually.
Yeah. But I think Atlanta is really an epicenter for that. And, you know, the work that Grant and his group are doing to sort of harness all of those companies that at times are probably disparate because we're all working on our own things, but to bring us all together and not only, you know, think about the future of the industry, but what is the future of Georgia's role in the industry is really exciting.
So when you say bring everybody together, what does that mean?
The population is dropping in Atlanta next week.
We chartered 18 buses to drive us over there. No. They're coming in, you know, all throughout the country from Georgia companies, depending on where they're based. And we're really kind of descending on Las Vegas as we do it at a lot of trade shows where Georgia has a huge presence, to come together and not just talk about the ecosystem and the industry, really, you know, forge new partnerships, look for strategic business relationships. And one of the special things we're doing this year is really promoting that disruptive fintech startup scene that we have in Metro Atlanta and statewide. We're rapidly becoming not just where, you know, payments have always taken place and been processed, but we are rapidly gaining worldwide recognition as where the new technology is being created at the universities and our startup community.
So what's happening on the legislation, regulation front? Are there some things happening there that are causing things to move faster and faster?
I mean, I think just a couple of weeks ago, I was lucky enough to attend there's a joint House and Senate committee on fintech that's exploring exactly that. What are some of the things that the legislature can do to make Georgia not only friendly to that industry, but what can they do to help the industry grow? Because it's an industry that generates a large number of jobs in our state and certainly in Metro Atlanta. And, you know, it's interesting because I think Georgia has a history of doing things like that. You know, if you think about why all those payment processors are here to begin with, a lot of it was some very forward-thinking, you know, regulators and lawmakers in Georgia years ago decided that you didn't have to be a bank to process credit cards. And something that seems so simple really is what drove, you know, all of the large payment processors to bring their headquarters to Georgia. So, you know, the question is, what's next as the industry broadens and expands and drives into new innovations? Are there things like that that you can do to make Georgia a friendly place for those businesses to set up shop.
And then, so what's the answer to that? Is that something that's...
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. So what are some of the things, what are some of the things that are developing in that area to be more forward thinking and to...
Well, so I think, you know, one of the things that we talked about when we were with the committee a couple weeks ago is things like if you're processing payments, as we do, and you have someone who defaults on a payment, is it easy to pursue, you know, legal action in a certain county? Is it easy to sort of administratively take care of those things?
So right now, that's happening differently in every county.
It depends. It's different in different states as well. I mean, when the world that we live in with trade payments is governed by UCC filings, and so there are things you can do to pave the way to make it easier to document those things and then to pursue anyone who performs badly in a way that is administratively economical and expedient, as opposed to having to try and chase them down. And, you know, the nice thing is these are things that you can do that don't cost a lot of money. They're not things that the state or the city has to appropriate large amounts of funds for, but that are strategically innovative in terms of making it easy for small businesses that don't have a lot of money to set up shop and grow here.
So I have a quick question. It's a very tactical one, but I am kind of curious about this. As a small business ourselves here at Business Radio X, we utilize a number of payment processing things depending on the service that we're providing. And even among those, some of them, it takes longer for us to get our money than the others. It's like there might be 2 or 3 days for one payment process.
I'm with you.
What is the deal on that? Because to me, that's something that I would think we could work on and get that time frame down a little bit.
I agree with you. I think that commerce means if you deliver a good or service, you should get paid.
Yeah.
The way it's supposed to work, isn't it?
Yeah. Is there anybody kind of lobbying for that? Or is it did their best interest to not do that? Why is it that it takes so long?
Well, that's actually why we created Now Account. Is I was in the same shoes you were in, and as I was selling to other businesses and government, it was taking me forever to get paid. And it turns out that the reason that exists, ironically, is this concept of trade credit, where you send an invoice or you let someone pay later, started out as a sales tool. Sorry to say, guys. You know, we had this brilliant idea that if you let someone pay later, they'll buy more stuff from you, right? I mean, think about the Popeyes cartoon when you were kids. We'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yeah, right.
It's everywhere. It's in pop culture. But that same mechanism that allowed people to sell more also became a cash management tool for your customers. The reason they don't pay you immediately is they're wash from you for free, and they should send you a really nice thank you card for that. But it's become such an important part of our economy. You can't flip a switch and tell people you have to pay immediately for a good or service you receive, because it's become a part of commerce. And so, you know, we looked at areas where that relief has happened, and it's happened in retail. Because if you walk into any Walmart or Starbucks or local retailer at the end of the day, when they close their doors, they've been paid for everything, because you either gave them cash, maybe your grandmother gave them a check, and or you gave them a credit card. And in the B2B space, those types of solutions never evolved. So, you know, we created a solution that allows you, when you invoice a customer, to get paid immediately on your Now Account. It feels like taking a credit card. You pay a flat fee, and when and if your customer pays is not your issue. So yes, there are innovations in that space. Thankfully, they're here in Atlanta, and we're proud to be here in Atlanta. We wouldn't even consider being anywhere else.
So now, Grant, when you were getting this group of people together from Georgia, how did that come about? Did you decide, like, hey, we're going to have a presence here, let me just put out a flyer to see who wants to come with me?
A little bit. I mean, not to sound trite, but you really have to try shows and understand which ones are the most appropriate for the audience. You know, at the chamber and with all of our partners, you know, Georgia Power, the Governor's Economic Development Office, we all work together to identify those major shows across the world that fit the clusters, you know, that Georgia's and Metro Atlanta is best known for. So fintech and financial services, of course, being one of those. We looked at 4 or 5 major global shows, and we'll do all of those this coming year. This is the second year that we're at Money 2020, but you really do have to test the waters. You go and you see What if any other communities are there, states, countries, cities? We're really kind of alone in the city market because we're such a global dominator in the space. There's really not a whole lot of other cities that are there. You'll find other countries, the UK, France, and a few other countries, some Asian countries that are strong in particular types of fintech. But because we've got such a huge and long history in the industry, and we have great partners like Tag and ATPC and all these other groups that have kind of coalesced around the payments and financial space, it's kind of easy to tap the pulse of the market and see who's interested. And so, you know, we're just so thrilled to be able to travel with great companies like Now to really target not just, you know, customers and partners for them, but also to promote the ecosystem.
So now, are all 300 of you in your own little pavilion? How's that going to work?
For this show, we've decided not to do a pavilion strategy. We do those at shows around the world. Money 2020 is a little bit unique because we are so well known in the space, and booths can sometimes limit you, you know, to a small, very expensive piece of real estate. We have a tremendous number of partners and companies in Atlanta and Georgia that have booths there. But from the FinTech Atlanta Task Force and our partners' perspective, we find it easier to be able to walk the floor. We host several events, dinners, receptions throughout the show, and it really gives us a chance to get in and talk with the companies that are already in Georgia, thank them, first of all, for doing business here and find out how we can support them. And then, you know, secondly, look for companies that may be seeking expansion opportunities.
Now, Laura, do you have a pretty structured approach to the way that you're going to attack this Money 2020 thing? Have you laid it out kind of step by step? This is what I'm going to do on day one. This is what I'm going to do on day two.
Well, now you said attack. I've got this vision in my mind of, you know, you wielding my sword and rushing down the trade show. So we are going, two of the folks from our company are going, Archie Jones, our CFO, and myself. And, you know, we've set up a lot of meetings. The chamber's been great at making recommendations for us on, you know, some people we may want to
They're already
meet.
Set up. So you're not going in blind. You've got some pre-scheduled meetings.
Oh, we're on it. We're on
nice.
It. Yes, we have pre-scheduled meetings. And, you know, we're going to attend the events that the chamber's doing and that the Georgia delegation are doing. Because I think it's important to support each other and to show how many companies are there from Georgia. But what's also amazing is how many of our companies are not only just there, we're speaking. So when you look at the main stages and the people that are talking about the innovation and all the different areas of money and payments and lending, there's Georgia leaders represented in a large number of those. So, you know, one of the things the chamber's done is to even let us know where each other is. So that outside of the meetings that we've set that are, you know, more selfish in terms of someone we want to talk to either do business with or partner with, but then how do we go watch our brethren from Georgia and, you know, be in the audience, ask questions, support them. So part of our agenda is to attend the other events that Atlanta companies are a part of so that we can support them and hopefully they'll come to ours.
Now, is this industry very collaborative? Do you all work together or find ways to work together?
You know, I think it actually is. FinTech is an interesting industry because it's one of the industries where technology, in fact, I was just at Georgia Tech last night teaching a FinTech class, and the question I posed to everyone is which comes first, the fin or the tech? And it's interesting because, well, I mean, it's kind of obvious. They don't call it tech fin, but what's interesting is in a lot of industries, technology is the what. Technology is the product. It's the service. It's the focus of everything. In fintech, technology is the enabler. And technology is not the product or service, but it enables the product or service delivered, you know, better consumed by the customers. And so that opens up such a large realm of people who do things that might complement each other, but they don't compete. So just this morning, I was down at Atlanta Metropolitan State College, and the city of Atlanta, the Atlanta Airport, GDOT, SBA had put together a small business sort of coalition with USDOT. There were 10 of us on the panel, and it ranged from banks here in Atlanta to Invest Atlanta, which is the Atlanta Development Authority, to SBA. And the interesting thing is, the point of the panel wasn't pick one of the 10 to work with. It's we all work together. And you know, the banker next to me said, well, I have lots of clients that use Now Account. And then the person from Invest Atlanta said, well, you know, we have a Now Account. We promote Now Account all the time. So it was really more of a collaborative partnership of, here's the suite of tools available to you. And aren't you lucky that you're in Atlanta to access all of them? Because you can't get these other places.
So what is the international scene like? Is there emerging opportunity for like you at Now Account to enter the Asian market? Is there, what's that like?
That's not our focus right now. Our focus really is the United States. You know, we have such a huge opportunity here in the U.S. to take the $1.2 trillion of trade credit that people like yourself are funding their customers every day off their balance sheet so that they can grow. We get approached every day by people in other countries saying, can we take this model to our country? But, you know, it's interesting. Fintech is one of those things that's very specific to the market, the economy that it's in. So just taking a model and trying to take it over to China or over to the UK or Germany could be very different because their monetary policy is different, their legal policies are different. Now, we do a lot of exports here, which is huge in Georgia. So we have clients that use Now Account for export, but our clients would not be in China. Right. They might be selling to China or selling to Germany. But, you know, what's interesting about the international market is we learn a lot. I mean, there are areas of payments that, quite honestly, some of the markets in Europe are probably even more advanced than ours are in terms of the way that businesses use different financial tools differently. So, you know, my goal is to learn from everybody.
And we look at, you know, as we travel abroad and we go to other shows, for instance, Money 2020 has a European show in June, I think the end of June in Copenhagen. We'll have a large presence there as well. And you know, Laura's right. It's really, it is so legal and country specific, but technology at its core is still, you know, good technology.
Right.
So when we can take our companies from, you know, Metro Atlanta and Georgia and travel with them overseas and they can see what other disruptors in, you know, different parts of the world are doing, it really helps you know, broaden their knowledge base and helps them compete globally because the export market is, you know, it's huge for us. But we've been very successful from a domestic fintech standpoint, and now we're really broadening that scope. We've got a great relationship with London. There's a delegation in a few weeks headed out to Singapore for a large fintech conference they have there. We're in London, you know, 4 or 5 times a year for different shows like Finovate and others. So,
and you guys were hosting some folks a couple of weeks ago when I was at the Joint House and Senate Committee. I think you had some folks from the UK in town.
We
did.
That
came out that day.
Yeah, we should do. We have delegations almost every week from someplace in the world.
Really?
Yeah. Now, what percentage of your effort is, you know, kind of supporting and celebrating the local Georgian company out there in the world? And what part is attracting people from other areas, countries into Georgia to leverage the fintech community here?
Wow, great question. I mean, first and foremost, we're there to help support our Georgia, you know, employers, taxpayers. That's critically important. We're traveling.
But a way to create jobs is to attract companies here.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah. And we've been very successful doing that. We really do want to make sure though that those companies who are here now have those same opportunities to grow, you know, those relationships. When we have a company, you know, like now or others who are looking for a strategic partner and they want an introduction to, you know, a Mercedes or a Coke or a Home Depot, you know, name any of the huge well-known brands that we have here. You know, we want to make sure that we're helping those introductions first locally. And then we help, you know, as we're attracting globally, you know, we help make those intros. So we've done a really good job helping our companies expand. But of course, new investment, inward investment from overseas is a critical part of the region growing. So I don't know that I can put a percentage on it, but, you know, we're traveling with 300 Georgians that we're there to promote and support. And we'll probably come back with some pretty good wins
more
Afterwards.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive, because if you support your local businesses and they succeed, nothing attracts more people than success. And if you can show how small businesses are succeeding here in Atlanta, then businesses all over the country are going to want to come here. There's a reason why people look to Silicon Valley and Austin, and it's not because someone offered them a great lunch. It's because they look over there and say, wow, those businesses are really booming. What's going on in that ecosystem? I want a piece of that. And it could be capital, but it could be regulatory, you know,
right,
enablers. It could be human capital enablers. It could be technology enablers. And so I think the greatest thing we can do in Atlanta and Georgia is show how successful businesses and fintech can be here, because then everyone's going to want to be here. Everybody wants to be on the winning team.
And that's really what FinTech Atlanta is all about. This task force that the governor and the mayor helped create, bringing all of these organizations, TAG and ATPC and MAC, all of us together and all of our memberships to really create that momentum that we need to compete globally. You know, the term transactionality has been around for several years. You know, it is a little limiting though, because we are so much more than just transactions. You know, we have ICE here. So we now have, you know, the owners of some of the most powerful stock exchanges in the world.
Despite the fact that it's 90 degrees in October, we have ICE.
No. Right.
What about the talent pool? Isn't the talent pool really strong here for people who might work in my fintech company if I were to come here?
Absolutely. I mean, just looking at the university system here and, you know, between the Georgia States and the Georgia Techs and Emory, I mean, you're just training folks that have great analytical skills. They have great, you know, math and computer skills. And then on top of that, you've got these employers that have built the entire industry here. So in terms of finding an expert and a mentor, there's not a better place to do it.
Now, about how many companies are fintech companies here in Atlanta?
Going back to Laura's point earlier about, you know, a definition of fintech, there are roughly about 110 principal fintech companies. That's payments processing and straight fintech. When you increase that and you look at banks and markets and, you know, risk, insurance and reassurance,
data,
you know, data, absolutely. And then the crossover between cybersecurity and mobility. And then if you delve deeper and you look at a Coke or a Delta, nothing happens without a transaction for a company like that, a major global, you know, Fortune 5. So they have entire divisions that have fintech, you know, the SunTrusts of the world as well. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, tens of thousands of employees in this area and hundreds of companies that are engaged in some type of financial technology or transaction.
And isn't it like 2/3 to 3/4 of the world's credit cards are processed here? So, I mean, that sounds simple, but think of all the companies that have to touch that to happen. It's huge.
I'm trying to envision the trade show floor at this upcoming Money 2020. And I just have to believe anytime you get two or three fintech execs together talking about this stuff, there's probably going to be another company formed or some sort of strategic alliance.
Money just starts flying around. It just blows around in there.
No, I really believe there's a lot of truth to that, because I think that there's so many opportunities to partner up with other people who are serving this little niche over here. Mm-hmm. And your thing would dovetail nicely over here. What a cool show to be a part of.
Is the trade show floor particularly is, and that's one of the reasons that we don't do, you know, a partner booth, because we need that time on the ground going around and seeing what other regions and what other companies are doing. You know, a direct result of last year's show, we've had a number of companies that have already come, you know, to Atlanta. We have one that'll be announcing they're coming to Atlanta during Money 2020 this year. Strategic partnerships, you know, relationships with the UK government and other global partners. You never know what comes out of these shows.
And then the capital sources. I mean, if you look at the panels, and almost all of them are moderated by some of the large private equity groups, the large venture groups. And so anytime you can, you know, attract more capital to Atlanta, that helps as well.
We actually have, to that point, we have a reception, a private reception for VCs and capital sources and our startup community. So there are 13 startups that we've identified from Metro and from Georgia who will be at the show. And they've been invited to a 1-hour kind of a curated discussion with VCs, and we've had a number of VCs from around the world that have expressed an interest in coming and learning more about the ecosystem here. You know, we're only a couple weeks away from Venture Atlanta and Mobility Live. There's so much going on, you know, in the fall. We always carry both of those flags, you know, wherever we go.
Now, there's some niche accelerators and incubators around town. Is there one for fintech?
Yeah, there sure is. About a year and a half ago, WorldPay, or we'll say invested, actually, is a better word, $1 million at Georgia Tech through the Advanced Technology Development Center, the ATDC, to create a fintech accelerator. And that was really the first of its kind in kind of a public-private partnership. They've put dozens of companies through that program. In fact, four of them will be traveling with us to Money 2020. Four or five were with us last year. You know, great companies that you're hearing about every day. Ground Floor is one of them, was with us last year. And, you know, they've been very successful in raising capital.
Yeah, they were here recently.
Well, yeah, my youngest daughter and I are investors with Ground Floor. We are real estate moguls.
There you go.
We had the guys in the studio. Yeah. We love those guys. Allie, right? Brian? Anyway.
Yeah, Brian Daly.
Daly. Yep. Yeah.
So, yes, there are specific niche accelerators like that. There are also incubators and other environments that are propelling those types of partnerships forward. I think you're going to see a lot more of that niche market happen with our incubators and accelerators. We've got almost 70 co-working spaces and incubator programs throughout the region now. And so we're seeing specific, you know, mobility, very specific cyber programs. Baker Donaldson's got a new program. You know, we've got the great folks at Cyber Launch. So there's some really cool stuff happening that you don't see in a Silicon Valley or in a New York or in an Austin. And that's what we get so excited about, because we're not a one horse town. You know, we are payments, we're health IT, you know, we're mobility, we're cyber, we're med tech, all of these fantastic markets that we really lead nationally, then throw in all the Fortune 500s, this amazing startup ecosystem, university system and talent, and an amazing cost of, you know, living and quality of life, and get something really you can't find anywhere else.
Good stuff. So if somebody went to learn more about the event, website or your contingents?
Sure. Yeah. FintechAtlanta.org is the website for the overall effort. You'll see a number of activities that we're a part of. There's also been a lot of press around this, around the different events and the ecosystem dinners that we're providing there. And they can always go to MetroAtlantaChamber.com as well.
And money2020.com is the website for the event itself in Vegas.
Yes.
And Laura, your website?
So we're nowaccount.com.
And then what type of company is the perfect company for you?
Clients are any small business that sells to other businesses or governments. They can be manufacturers, wholesalers, staffing companies, IT firms, marketing firms, construction, as long as it's a business doing business with another business or government.
And then if they're not getting paid fast enough, then they should call
Nobody
you.
Nobody gets paid fast enough. Unless you get
except
paid. Unless someone hands you cash when you give them a product, you are not being paid fast enough.
But is this kind of one of your primary sales and marketing strategies? Hanging out with these guys and building these relationships? I mean, that's got to be a big boon to your whole...
Our biggest challenge is that we don't have a new product. We have a new industry. We have created an entire new category. And it's a bit like the horseless carriage years ago before there was the name automobile. Right. And so for us, our vision is to create a world without AR. Literally, that no business would ever have AR again. And there's already a world that exists without AR, and it's retailers. But there's a much larger industry of B2B that we want to remove AR. So the best thing we can do is not go out and sell Now Account, because people say, what is that? Sounds too good to be true. What's the catch? The best thing we can do is just educate people and go out there and show them the type of innovation that can drive a world without AR. The best thing about Money 2020 is it's the only time that what happens in Vegas isn't going to stay in Vegas. It's coming back here.
Good stuff. Well, thank you all for being part of the show today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.